Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, Jen. Good
morning
everyone.
Sam.
Today's Friday, May 8th, as we head towards the weekend, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
You are going to be working since your day off was Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to be working on the weekend.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Any chance you're going to go? Do they have a pool there? Do you go by the pool?
They have a pool, yeah. Oh. I go in with the kid often. So
really?
That's the silver lining on the situation.
Yeah. It's been so friggin' hot, huh? I mean, it's like the pool is the only place to be.
I know.
What happens to me is I like to sit outside. So, you know, I sit outside, I read, smoke a joint or something.
Yeah.
And then get so fucking tired that I just want to go to sleep. So yesterday I slept most of the day. I'd get up, go back to bed.
I know. The joint just makes everything so cozy sometimes.
Yeah, you know.
Suddenly like...
And the heat and we don't go together, you know. I mean, it puts you to sleep, or at least me, it makes me so tired. So I slept a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
But yesterday I was like walking on air because I won on my simulator in the morning.
Oh, you did?
Like $700 in like 10 minutes. It's not real money, but... I'm still on the simulator, but I felt good, you know?
Progress.
I thought, so all day I'm walking around, I said, yeah, look how easy it is. In 10 minutes, I can make $700. I can go back
to
sleep.
And when you lose 700 in 10 minutes, you'd be like, it's not as easy as it seems.
So this morning...
Here we go.
So this morning was not the same story. This morning I was on for 2 hours hoping that my situation would get better, and it hardly did, you know.
Oh my gosh.
So, but they tell you need to put stops, like last stop, so you don't go below something, right?
Sure.
I haven't done those yet, so it's just tempting to stay until it comes back up. But sometimes it never does.
Yeah.
So that's why you want to get out when you're, I don't know, down $200-$300 or something, you know? Not to drop anymore. Today, I'm in the hole for $1,500.
Oh, that's like double.
Yeah. Can you imagine if it was real money? I'd be so pissed. And it's probably going to happen, you know? I mean, that's one of the things I need to get used to, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed this before, the high risk, high reward.
Yeah, exactly.
High risk, very low reward,
I'm
too.
I'm living on the fucking edge, man.
Yeah, some kind of excitement in your life, right?
Yeah. God, I hope it lasts.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man.
That's why I'm still pissed.
Yeah, I'm still learning. Look, these are the mistakes and... luck of a new amateur student, you know, it happens sometimes. But I mean, even gamblers, they don't know how to gamble, sometimes win, you know.
Of course, definitely.
So you never know. So this weekend's going to be very hot. I don't know what I want to do, maybe even go to the beach or something. But if I went to the beach, it's not going to be where people are. There's like places where there's rocks. You can just sit near the water. You get the breeze.
Anything near the water, I think, is helpful for
for the soul.
For the soul, yeah, for sure.
I know. I like moving water. And so maybe we'll do that, you know. Also, I want to take my bike, except it's too hot to do right now. I mean, you know, at night is the best time, and I just get too lazy, and I'm like, oh, I'm tired.
Blah, yeah, blah. You're like, nah.
Yeah, and not in the heat, definitely not in 100-degree weather. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. Definitely not in 100-degree weather.
And that's it. And Sunday is my birthday, so we'll see
what kind of
surprises I'm going to have.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I have to try and get the kid I nanny for to make some Mother's Day cards.
Yeah, Mother's Day is on Sunday as well.
Yeah.
And, do you have a lot of mothers in your family or...
Just my mom.
Just your mom?
A lot of motherfuckers, but...
Right. No, like married sisters with kids.
No, no one yet.
No in-laws. No,
nope,
nothing.
Nothing yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, we're very single people.
Yeah.
We're very we enjoy our independence.
Yeah, independence.
Greatly.
Yeah, me too. I like it too.
People think it's weird, but I think people who just like get married because they need to be with someone are weird. So.
That's true.
It's very true.
Yeah. Just to get married because you want to be with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the wrong reason to be married.
I think a lot of people do it because they think they have to, or it's just culturally what it is, or... I mean, some people are actually in love, but I think the percentage of people who are actually in love, I think, is not that high.
Lower, huh?
For sure.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're going to have guests on the phone today. A couple who is divorced, and they do a podcast together and everything, so... That's pretty cool, kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about divorce and marriage and all that stuff.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There's always stuff to talk about when it comes to divorce, man.
For sure.
It's too tough. I don't wish it on anybody, you know?
Yeah.
So did you say you got your stimulus check yet?
No.
No, right? I haven't gotten it either. Now they have my bank information. What's waiting? You know,
every time I try and go on, it tells me, sorry, like, cannot process at this time.
Right.
Or something. So I can't even put my information in.
I know. It does that most of the time.
I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
Pain in my butt.
That happened to me several days until I finally was able to get something done.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still haven't seen the money.
I know, I'm ready for it.
And they're talking about new checks already. We haven't gotten this one yet, so we'll see.
I'm ready.
Yeah, huh?
I'm ready.
They're reopening. Most states are going to reopen in some ways,
mm-hmm.
You know. California is not, I know that, right?
Some of the Starbucks have opened, but they have like a table outside that you go up to where they bring you your mobile order.
Oh, okay.
So it's good to see people going back to work in some way.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll see how it goes, you know. But they're saying that a lot of industries have been really devastated, you know.
Yeah.
Where was it that I wanted to look at? Yeah. Oh, well. So what happens is that, you know, you get to a day like Mother's Day, you can't really celebrate, you know?
Sure.
Can't really do anything. And our world is changing, you know? I mean, they're saying now it's going to be like a new normal, you know? You go out, you still wear masks and social distancing and stuff, even though we're opening things up.
If you think about it, though,
be weird, you know?
If you think about it, though, on Mother's Day, I feel like any time that I didn't just make breakfast in bed for my mom, we've decided to go out for brunch and wait like 2 hours for like a seat at brunch, and you're just like starving. I remember I dated this guy, and before we went out to eat one time, he was like, "Do you want to have a snack?" And I'm like, "Well, we're about to go out to eat." And he's like, "Yeah, but I'd rather walk in there not starving to the point where I'm feeling cranky or like anxious."
Right.
He's like, "I'd rather just have a snack now." And I was like, "Huh, what a civilized idea."
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm like, I usually get in there and then I'm just like, I can't think, I can't talk, you know.
I know, so. I know. One thing I hate is waiting in restaurants, you know.
Ugh.
But, and that's why, you're right, that's why I don't really like going out on Mother's Day. But, you know, mothers like it, so you do it for them, you know.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard this year without my mom, but we'll honor her anyway. Plus, we got a lot of mothers in the family, so.
Yeah, you guys should do like a family Zoom or something.
Yeah.
Just all make breakfast and sit and eat breakfast together. I do that with my mom sometimes now. She'll go to Starbucks, I'll go to Starbucks, and we'll both sit in the car drinking Starbucks and talking.
Really?
Yeah. Feels like we're hanging out.
Oh, man, what a world.
I know, but I mean, it's
every
so
day
fortunate.
You gotta remind yourself it's not the normal world anymore.
It's not the normal world, but at the same time, be thankful that at least we have these options.
Yeah.
You know, because if it weren't for FaceTime or being able to call people the way that we can, we'd be really feeling it even like more.
Worse off. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
You know? Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting. But I saw this thing here, which totally, you know, makes you think. A restaurant in Amsterdam introduced the quarantine greenhouses. So it's like there's tables of people sitting there, but they're surrounded by glass, like little glass cubicles.
I like that.
It's kind of cool. They sit outside and everything for social distancing and stuff. But you know what I'm saying is that, look, we can't even breathe our own air anymore, you know? It's like being on Mars or something, you know?
I know. Definitely.
Isn't that shit?
Yeah, it is shit. But at least the air that we are breathing when we're outside is cleaner than it was before quarantine.
I don't know. They're saying they're not so sure. But nevertheless, you know, I mean, it's a good idea. They're totally sold out there. And, you know, leave it to the Dutch to come out with new ideas. But I'm just thinking this is like sitting in a fucking aquarium, you know?
Yeah. It's a weird situation,
who
right?
Who would have thought about this, you know?
The future.
I'm trying to think of the past. Who would have thought something like this would happen, you know?
I know. I mean, any movie you've seen about the future, like everything is always so sanitized and quarantined, and it's always kind of been that way, and here we are. Like, this is going to change how we move about our lives and the culture as we know it.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
It's going to change a lot. Yeah, it's definitely going to change our lifetime. And, yeah, I don't know. I just wish we come out of this. I don't really like it. I'm sure most people don't. It's not like it's news or anything.
Like a fun thing.
Right. You know? But nevertheless, you know, it's like sometimes now you start missing all the times that you go out, you know, how sometimes we'd be like, oh, I don't feel like going out. I'm too tired. I'm too this.
I know.
Now we just figure, I'd go even if I'm half dead, I'll go to restaurant or something.
For sure.
You know?
I know. So many times I've just like said no to plans over and over again because I was like depressed or in a hole or just kind of not wanting to leave the house or whatever it was. You know, I spent... Right. I've mentioned this before. I spent 6 years in New York pretty much quarantined except for work.
Yeah.
And now everyone else is quarantined and I'm like out constantly working. Never on the same page as the rest of the world.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how it goes, but
yeah.
A lot of people are out working, I think, and I think it's a good thing. I mean, you know, a lot of businesses are losing everything, you know. I mean, they're talking about some jobs that have been affected. First of all, the unemployment rate is like 14.7%, which is like, it's the lowest ever since they started measuring it.
Yeah.
You know? And, 16.7. Okay, here's our guest right now.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we're going to take our guest right now. Let me bring up the notes. Good morning, folks. Are you with us?
Oh.
This got disconnected.
Hi.
Oh, there they are. Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. Stephanie. I think Eric's on too.
Okay. Hi,
hello.
Eric.
Hi.
Yes. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
You guys on the same line there?
We are.
Oh, okay. Cool. Where are you calling us from this morning?
Dallas.
Yes.
Dallas.
Oh, you're in Dallas, Texas. It gets pretty hot there, yes. Doesn't it?
Oh, that's the understatement of the year.
That's okay. We
in
get...
about a month, we'll be happy we can't go outside.
Really?
Wow.
I know. Well, we're already getting 100 degree days here, so.
For sure.
So we can relate.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With us, yeah, there's no problem at all. We always get the heat here, at least this part of Los Angeles where we live.
The valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, very hot. Now,
valley,
is it humid where you are?
So, Dallas isn't terribly humid. I grew up in Houston, which is really humid.
Yeah.
But Dallas isn't I mean, some people would say it's humid, but I don't.
She's crazy. Dallas is terribly humid.
No, no, I might be crazy, but
no, that's okay. You know, I mean, you're allowed to disagree and everything. And
yes,
so
yes.
You guys are divorced now, right?
We are.
Yeah, you're divorced, but do you work together? Are you friends too?
I think we're friends. I don't know what Eric would say.
Better friends than married, right?
I think you would know.
No, we're friends. Eric, we're friends, right?
Yes, we are friends. We are friends. We do a. We're actually better friends now than we were probably the last 15 years of our marriage.
Yeah. So
10 years or
really?
Whatever.
Really?
See, I'm in the same situation, actually. This is pretty funny, you know? I was married for about...
Is that right?
Yeah, I was married for about 15 years, and now my ex-wife is like my best friend, you know? So, go figure. You know? But we still argue hell, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're doing our podcast, Divorce Done Well. We're trying to do divorce well. So.
Trying to do divorce well. And how long have you been divorced now?
3 years.
Yeah.
Oh, 3 years. Wow. So you were married for 17, I see here.
17. That's correct.
And divorced for 3. So you've known each other 20 years plus whatever you had before you got married.
Sure, sure.
Wow.
Well, right. A long time. I mean, we met when I was 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when Stephanie was a freshman in college and I was a senior.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So, long time.
Yeah. Well, you guys, whether you know it or not, you're probably soulmates, you know? I mean, you don't spend that many years with someone who's not really meant to be in your life, you know?
Sure, sure.
And even though, you know, I mean, people might say, oh, no, we don't get along and stuff, but that doesn't mean you're not soulmates, you know? You can still be. It's just
totally.
You're teaching each other lessons, you know?
Yeah. I totally hear that. My parents are kind of similar.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say my parents were kind of similar and they didn't, you know, they were always kind of friends, but they fought like crazy. But after they divorced, they got even closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Isn't that funny? Why do you guys think that is?
Well.
Yeah.
Gosh. I don't know. I mean, I think that at least I can just speak for myself. I think I was so concerned about being right about things.
Right.
But I never really saw Eric really for who he was. And I probably didn't respect him in a way that he deserved to be respected. And I think I just see him differently. I don't know. Like, he sent me a text earlier about some crazy person on Facebook that's ranting about something. And he's like, this person is nuts. You know, and like that's sort of our banter. He'll be like, here's this article, read this. I don't know. I just think there's like a level of respect that we just couldn't get to when we were married.
Right.
I don't know, Eric, what do you think?
Yeah.
Eric, I also think that, you know, the pressure comes off. Like when you're married, there's this immense pressure to act a certain way, to, you know, to be the married couple that you think you're supposed to be, that your friends expect, that your parents expect, that your family expects. And then you take that away and that pressure is just gone. And so what's left is, you know, if there's something left, it's just, hopefully it's friendship and something that, you know, especially when you have two kids, you know, that was really the genesis of the podcast. It was, you know, if you get divorced and you have kids and you can't do it well, then that's on you. Shame on you for not finding a way through all the you know, the crappiness to do it well for your kids. And so, so I think those two things combined are the, you know, the reason why we are able to get along the way we do now.
Yeah. I feel like it's a lot of pressure. I mean, I've never been married, but I feel like it's got to be a lot of pressure that you put on yourself and a lot of pressure to put on the other person. And in dating, I've realized that, you know, my friends usually date more than I do. I'm kind of like I like to be alone. But so, you know, I had a
well,
friend.
Is a perfect time for you then, this pandemic.
Totally.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it.
Yeah,
right?
Except she doesn't get to be alone. She has to work.
Yeah, right. But yeah, like, so my best friend, sometimes he gets a little sensitive when he's talking to someone he's dating and they don't, you know, respond in a timely manner or, you know, whatever the case may be that day. And, you know, a friend of his was like, you just have to hold them to the same standard that you would hold a friend. You know, it's too much pressure to put on someone to, mm-hmm. you know, respond within 10 minutes of every single text message or whatever it might be. Not that that's the case every time, but I feel like there are different standards we have for both friends and people we're dating. And I feel like if it were a little more of a level playing field, we might be able to appreciate and respect the other person properly and ourselves.
I think that's right. And I think people come into marriages and dating with these expectations, and most of the time they're unrealistic, and you just sort of set yourself and your relationship up for failure because nobody can live up to those expectations. I know everybody goes in and says, oh, I'm really low key and I'm all about no drama. And that's, I mean, I guess maybe in your own mind that could be true, but relative to everything else and everybody else, it's not true. And so, you know, I think as an institution, marriage is great. It's just people have to go into it with open eyes and be ready to work really hard. And if you're not, you know, willing to work really hard at it, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting it off until you're ready. But you know, no reason to rush into something you're just not ready for.
Sure.
Right. Now,
my therapist always said to me, you've got to give up this fantasy of what you think. I mean, and Eric just hit it, the nail on the head. I mean, it was just, I had this idea of this fantasy and it was never going to live up to that.
Right. So you got to accept the person pretty much for who they are and not put all these expectations. I know because, you know, it's like we think of our partners as like my wife, let's say from a man's point of view, you want her to be your wife and your mother and your sister and your best friend and all this. And they can't possibly be all these things, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Right. And I think
when you're 26 years old and you get married, you don't know what the heck you're doing.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times, you know, just as a blanket statement, I find that a lot of people live by kind of a double standard, right? So people, you know, if I text you and you don't respond to me within, you know, 15, 20 minutes, I could get pissed at you. But if you text me and I don't respond for 4 hours, in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm just busy working,
right,
you know? Okay. So I think it's similar with that too. And I mean, obviously it goes deeper than just text messaging and communication, but I think there's a kind of as a blanket statement, oftentimes double standards for people. And I think that gets in people's way because they don't want to hold themselves to the same standard or even realize they're not holding themselves to the same standard as how they're holding somebody else.
Yeah, we all make up stories in our head, you know, about what's supposed to happen and whether it's texting or with your husband or wife. So,
right.
You know, we do best we can.
I was wondering, since you guys are getting along, is it safe to say the process of your divorce was pretty civilized or did you have issues?
Well, that, you know, people. I don't, Eric, I'll let you answer that.
Okay, so, she didn't touch that.
No, I'm happy to answer.
It wasn't bad. I'm not trying to, like, make it.
You said you were going to let me answer it.
Okay, sorry.
So I don't know if you guys watched, I think it was called Marriage Story, that one with Scarlett Johansson. That was, so that show was incredibly real. And you know, it took a long, bitter divorce that probably in real life lasted, you know, a year like ours, and condensed it down to 2 hours. And so in that respect, it was, you know, you have to suspend disbelief a little bit, but the roller coaster of emotions and the role that the lawyers play is 100% factual. So, you know, when people ask me now, you know, I need a lawyer, who do you recommend? My first question is, well, how do you want your divorce to go? Do you want to get every last remaining asset that you're entitled to out of that divorce? Because if that's what your goal is, then this is the lawyer you need. If, however, you want to get out of this thing unscathed and you want your kids to still respect you and you want to, you know, sort of move beyond this and you're willing to give a little bit, then this is who I recommend. So, you know, we did have some of that. There's no question. I think that's inevitable. Even when you have the best lawyers and the best intentions, you take, you know, 17 years of marriage and all that comes with it and then try to unravel it and partial it out to each other. That's going to be hard, even in the best of circumstances.
Yeah.
And we dealt with that. We had that, but I think we, at some point during the divorce, we also were able to, you know, look beyond what our lawyers were telling us and realize that, you know, we were going to have 20, 30, 40 more years in each other's lives after this. How did we want it to go? And I think once we took that perspective, we were able to sort of get beyond those things and you know, finish the divorce in just about a year and come out of it. And, you know, if you had asked me during the divorce, you're going to do a podcast, I don't think I can say the word on I think the FCC would get mad at me for, you know, telling you what I would have said. But after it's all over, you know, you put all that stuff behind you, you know, I think the way we acted during the divorce put us in a position where we can do this now.
Yeah. And that's commendable, you know, because if people forget who they are and who their partner is, it can get pretty nasty, you know, like you said, especially when the lawyers get involved. You know?
Sure. I know the lawyers can help put your blinders up a little
bit. There's no emotions there, you know, just
cut and dry.
Lawyers are terrible.
Yeah.
Yes, and Eric is one.
They're trying to get a job done, right?
Oh, sorry. Well.
Right.
We're talking to Stephanie and Eric Spett. They have the podcast Divorce Done Well. Where can people find your podcast?
We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and also you can visit our website, divorcedonewell.net, and our podcasts are uploaded there. And our next one is May 18th, just FYI.
And the name of the podcast for our viewers?
Divorce Done Well.
Divorce Done Well is also the name.
Done Well.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the name of the podcast.
Right. And how long have you been doing that already?
Gosh, you know what? I just realized, because something showed up on my Facebook memories, it's been a little over a year.
Oh, nice. That nice.
Crazy.
Yeah. So it's good for us, too. It's kind of therapy, you know?
That's what I figured, you know? That's what I figured. It's probably like therapy for you as well. You guys have kids, too, right?
We do.
Yeah.
We have two kids.
14 and 12.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. So I would imagine it's tough on them. You know, I know divorce. I've been divorced twice, and I know that breaking up a family is not an easy thing to do, especially for the kids.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
but they.
Yeah, that was the worst part. Thinking about how we were going to deal with that, and you know, telling the kids that you know the marriage was over and everything that went into that was by far the worst part.
Yeah.
But you know, if you act the right way afterwards, your kids can adjust. And you know, I'm not saying that they're 100% on board with everything, but they're really well adjusted. They're really good kids. They will talk about things with us and, you know, let us know when they're not happy about something. And, you know, so like I said, they were sort of the North Star in why we were able to get divorced the way we did and why we're doing what we're doing now, to make sure our kids turn out okay.
Yeah.
Because they didn't ask for any of this.
That's true. Absolutely. And how do you deal with your parents not being together? You know, that's tough for them, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know at what age it's easier. I don't think there's such a thing, you know. Mm. Every age is tough.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know of any age. But, you know, we still do a lot of stuff together. I mean, they still look at us as a family. I mean, I'm going to Eric's on Sunday for Mother's Day. So, I mean, we still spend time together.
Right.
It, you know, a lot of it's for the kids, but, you know, I don't think you could hang out with your ex if you didn't like them.
That's
true. I mean, Eric wouldn't invite me over if he couldn't stand it.
Yeah, even for the kids, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting, you know. Now, I wanted to ask you, so at home, were you guys, like, fighting a lot? I mean, was it like a battlefield for you as far as arguments and things like that?
You know, there was a lot of, it's like silent but deadly. There was a lot of like passive aggressive behavior. But my daughter said something the other day, and Eric, I didn't, our 12-year-old daughter, Sadie, said, I remember you guys used to fight a lot. You don't fight like that anymore. So, you know, it's all about perception. Because in my mind, I didn't think we fought, but like she was 7, 8, and that's what she remembers. So.
Right. Yeah, we get used to it, you know. It's like we figure it's no big deal, you know. We're used to fighting and arguing and stuff.
Yeah.
But it can be jarring for kids.
I mean, this will have an effect on them. There's no question. I mean, my parents got divorced, it had an effect on me, but my parents were not, they did not behave all that well.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, you know,
it's an emotional time for them too. The parents, I mean.
Yeah. And I think the kids eventually figure out that it's probably a better way because they get to see the best of their parents now rather than them in their worst.
Yeah, you know? Either that or they're looking forward to like double birthday presents, double Christmas presents.
Oh, right.
There's always that bag,
I know,
too.
I know our daughter, I think the reason why Sadie is, she was okay with it almost from the outset because I think she... You know, she's sort of got this innate sense. She's only 12, but she's always been good about sort of sizing people up and sizing situations up. And I think, you know, once we got divorced, and she realized that when she was in Stephanie's house or my house, whatever tension that she was used to seeing was just gone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that doesn't mean it wasn't replaced with other things and hurt feelings and sad, but she really did not respond well to tension, and that increased her anxiety. And I think that removing that from the house was a net positive for her. Right. So, you know, I don't know. You look for positives where you can find them.
Yeah. So these are the things you discuss on your show, pretty much, on your podcast.
We do. Yep. We talk about, you know, pretty mundane things, but I think, well, I don't know, you know, just kind of day to day, like how are you going to handle Halloween if, you know, your kids are with your ex and this is how we handle Halloween or holidays. You know, we do have some experts on because we are not experts. We are just a divorced couple that is trying to navigate this process. But, you know, we've had several psychologists on, you know, other people that have, you know, more degrees than we do that can kind of speak to things. But what we're learning is that people like to hear from, not that experts aren't important because they are, but I think people like to hear from like regular people who are going through divorce. And if they're like, well, they can do it and they're normal and they're nothing, you know, then why can't I do it?
Yeah, no, you guys are a great example, you know, and definitely inspiring people to look for solutions, you know, rather than to just complain all the time.
Now, I have a question.
Correct.
Well, when you decided to divorce, how did you handle with the kids? Like, were you very honest with them about everything that was going on? Or did you kind of give them just like a light general idea? How did you maneuver that?
Stephanie, you want to take that?
Sure. I think... I mean, they're kids, and so I don't think it's necessary to include them in all the gory details of, you know, the reasons. But we were pretty direct with them and said, you know, we still love each other, but we're not going to be married anymore. Right. But we love you, and you know that never has changed. And they started crying, and then I started crying, and then Eric started crying, and then I think one of them ran out of the house, and that was the worst day.
Yeah.
But then it got better, you know?
Yeah.
It gets better. That's really the point. Like, people ask us, like, why'd you get divorced? Was there betrayal? Was there this? I mean, all that stuff, you can talk about it and relive that. but we're not really trying to focus on like why, you know, all the things that went wrong. We're trying to do something different. You know, we spent half our life being sad and dealing with a marriage that we couldn't fix. So, but, you know, people like to, they like to know the details and that sort of thing. And we're not, you know, we're not shy about it. We just don't want, it doesn't really matter.
It's not the focus. It's not the focus.
It's not the focus.
Resolution is.
So you would try, you're saying, now, did you guys try to fix it, like with therapy or something, like couples therapy or marriage counselor? Yeah, and it didn't work, right?
Yeah, we went to several therapists over time, and I think we really did try everything we could to make it work. And but you know, sometimes there are just things that aren't going to work. You know. I've got my own thoughts about couples therapy and marriage therapy. Probably not appropriate for this show, but I feel like we did try to do everything we could that we knew how to do anyway.
Right.
And you know, I think I was comfortable at the end that, you know, there was nothing more we could do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is after 17 years, you would think somebody's already like, their lives are enmeshed together, which they are for the most part, but you wouldn't think they would think of divorce after that long, you know?
Sure.
But, and I would imagine, you know, usually when there's a divorce, it's not like a new thing. It's been brewing for a while.
Sure. I don't think that's something you should really throw out as an immediate thought. Just throw that card out on the table, you know? It's something you'd want to mull over for a little bit, I think.
Yeah. And the problems start earlier, you know, and stuff. So, well, you know, I mean, we're definitely inspired by you, you know, keeping in touch and actually at least acting as friends and, you know, with your podcast and everything. Check out Stephanie and Eric Spitz's podcast. It's called Divorce Done Well. You can find it on iTunes and Spotify and probably many other places that you can find your podcasts.
You can our Facebook page.
Yes, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, Apple, on every social media outlet.
And they're all the same, Divorce Done Well?
Yes, all
the handles. All the handles.
Yes, Divorce Done Well.
Great. Awesome.
That's great social media management right there.
Yeah, there you go, folks.
Yes,
reach out.
Yes.
Reach out, learn a couple lessons.
We're
Well, guys, we thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Very entertaining and
thank
informative
you.
Stuff. And we wish you all the best. Continued success to you.
Thank you so much.
Of really course.
Great coming on with you.
Of
all
course.
Right.
Take
thank
care,
you.
Guys.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, stay safe. Bye.
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 I like that.
Yeah, they're nice people.
Yeah.
That's why I like this because... you know, it's similar to my situation, too.
Sure.
You know, people are going, what? You're like with your ex and stuff. I'm like, look, we're good friends. You know, we know each other.
And I think it's also a matter of like putting ego to the side.
Yeah.
You know, because very easy to get our egos wrapped up into things. Right. And we can use it as a reason to not be mindful, to have your ego get in the way of being able to make clear and cognizant decisions that you would want to make in your clearest of days, you know? So
right.
I think it's really important.
Yeah. No, you know, and the thing is that, you know, when you resent someone, they say it's like you're taking poison, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's hurting you.
Yeah, you know, and it doesn't really help anybody when you're like resentful and animosity and all that
stuff,
you know?
But man, is it hard to let go sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
It truly is. It's like, it's a constant battle of like self-awareness and knowing that like, hey, this anger or resentment I'm feeling towards this person is probably affecting them like a fraction of how it's affecting me. Like we're the ones carrying that around. And I truly believe that stress like that manifests in physical ways too, you know.
Right.
I find that it can inhibit our health and things like that.
No, that's true. I mean, I totally agree with that, you know. And plus, you know, after so many years together, you can't just forget a person, you know?
No way.
I mean,
especially if they're your mother or father of your kids.
Right. But I also find that it's not necessarily the case because, like, the mother of my kids, we talk when there's concern about the kids now, you know? I mean, other than that, we don't really talk.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hate each other. We get along, but, you know, I mean, she's remarried and everything, so there's not much to say there. We're not really friends. We don't know about each other and all that.
Yeah. How long after did she get remarried?
I don't know, a couple of years, 3 years later or something. Yeah. But I don't miss that. You know, I mean, I don't miss what I had with her. And we were married for 7 years, you know, so. But my second wife's like 15 years and no kids, but we're a lot closer, you know. So it depends, you know, it depends on the person. And don't get me wrong, I mean, we still argue a lot and everything, you know, still the same problems.
Is she remarried as well?
No, no.
How did it feel for you when your first wife got remarried?
I don't think it bothered me because it's not like I was in love, you know, at that point.
Totally.
Yeah. Just with the kids, you know, I mean, they were young. She would bring kids home. I mean, men home.
Careful there.
Not very long after we split up, you know, so.
Yeah.
And my kids were small, so I went crazy for a while.
Sure.
I really was.
It's a concern.
Yeah, it was out of my mind. I'm like, they're not going to remember or know who their father really is and all that stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, when we divorced, my kids were, and I'm trying to think, very young. Let's just say very young. I don't even remember when I got divorced. It was, 94. So, yeah, my son was like a year old. My daughter was 4. And it was a tough time, you know, really tough time. So I didn't want to figure that, you know, they're such a young age. They won't remember all the stuff we did together and all that, you know. And so I was really depressed. I had to actually take a little break from life. I couldn't. I mean, I was that devastated, you know.
Yeah.
And but it all turned out good in the end, I guess. We have a good relationship with the kids and everything. And
yeah, you seem to be close with your kids.
Yeah.
Which is great.
We went last year. I mean, there was some problems last year with my son where he stayed with me. And
with his cat, I remember.
Yeah,
that
didn't end well
at
all. But now we're back and everything's fine, you know. So
yeah,
I'm happy about that. It's like I would be so... every time I wasn't getting along with the kids or something, you know, it was just like such a weight on me, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know my mom's kind of going through that with my sister now because my sister's living at my mom's right now.
Yeah, and that's hard.
Yeah, and they haven't lived together since my sister was like 15 or something, you know. So my sister's been out on her own for a really long time. So they're definitely very much alike, and I think that's what causes them to butt heads
probably.
So much, yeah.
And how old is your sister again?
She just turned 40 in December.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's staying at my mom's because she bought a house in Philly, and there was something wrong with the structure, and the city condemned it, and they've had to tear it down and rebuild it, and there's been a huge lawsuit going back and forth with trying to get the insurance money for it to be able to rebuild it.
Wow.
So it's been almost 2 years since she's been in her house that she bought. Like, finally buys a house, and then she was in it for like a year, maybe.
Jeez.
Yeah, so she's been staying at my mom's.
Did she get anything from insurance or anything?
Yeah,
like
they've begun rebuilding. They've built the structure, but I think there are squatters in there now, which I hear is a whole pain in the ass to get rid of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So.
The stuff that people go through, you know?
I know. I know. It's funny, too. Like, I know I'm not the only one that goes through crazy stuff, but I have a couple of friends that say that would only happen to Jen Belinsky.
Really?
Oh, for sure. Really? Like, yeah.
Things that happen to you that don't happen to other people.
Sometimes, yeah. I feel like I tell people things like, that never happens to me. I'm like, of course not, you know? I told you about my brother's car and the homeless guy, right?
No.
I didn't tell you about that?
No, no.
This is like a pure Belinsky story right here. And I know you don't like talking about shit, so I'll keep it to a minimum.
Okay.
So my brother had, he bought an apartment, bought a car, and had surgery in his arm all in the same week, right? And so it's like 5 a.m. He has this like huge bionic contraption on his arm. He's like doped up on painkillers from like the surgery a few days before. And his friend bangs on his apartment door. He answers the door and she's like, the cops are at your car. The cops are at your car. And he's like, so confused. Like, what the fuck is going on, right? So he goes downstairs and there's like a team of cops surrounding his car. And he's like kind of nervous. He's like, what did I do? Like, pot's legal here, you know? And they have this guy. They're like holding this guy. And they're like, do you know this guy? And he's like, no. And they're like, well, he was found in your car. And he lives in a gated community. They're like, we found him in your car. And so what happened was a homeless guy broke into my brother's brand new car and pooped all over the front seat and then wiped himself with all of the clothes my brother hadn't unpacked yet from his move. And so the insurance company also refused to put new seats in. They're like, we'll only replace the seat pad. And so he had to take it to the place where like homicide cleaners. They were the only people that could really deep clean like that. So he ended up getting new seats in his car anyway. But his car had like 30 miles on it.
Yeah.
Like brand spanking new car.
And how many people does it happen to, right?
Exactly. And I told my friend Adrian that, and she's like, that would only happen to you or someone in your family. And I'm like, man.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, is it law of attraction? Are we attracting these things? Like,
so, but how did the cops know about this? Why did they surround the car?
They just happened to be like going through and they saw someone rummaging around in a car. And then when they checked it out, they realized like this homeless guy probably doesn't own this brand new car.
Right.
And they asked for ID, I guess, or whatever. He didn't have it. So then they, you know, looked at my brother's paperwork, found the ownership of the car.
Uh-huh.
His neighbor happened to see it.
Wow.
That's it.
Took a dump in the car. Fuck.
Yeah, man. Can you imagine?
These people are so gross. You know that they put like porta potties now under the freeways where all the homeless are? Because, you know, they figure it's better than them doing it in the street.
But who's cleaning that? Is the city going to come clean that?
Well, those porta potties, they lift them with like forklifts and then they just wash them, I think, or something. I don't know how they clean them, but they're all the same. All those porta potties, they have different ways of handling.
Just imagine that would overflow kind of quickly.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's gross.
So gross.
Right?
You always have this look on your face whenever we talk about poop. Like, you're, like, so exacerbated. Like, you just always have this look like like you don't even know what to do with yourself.
I know, but it's like sometimes it's inevitable to talk about
it. I know.
It's funny.
The first week I was nannying, the girl I was with, she kept saying that like having to go in the pool made her feel like she had to poop. And I was like, why don't you get out and just go to the bathroom? And she's like, I don't want to. I'm like, just get out of the pool and go to the bathroom. She's like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, okay. And so they call farts whiz pops, English people, by the way, which I think is hilarious. Pops, a whiz pop. So she's like, I'm going to make a whizzer. And I'm like, please don't. He might have an accident. And she's like, it's going to be fine. So then she does. And then she keeps making whizzers. And then she runs inside. And because she had said to me, she's like, well, what happens if I accidentally did poo in the pool? And I was like, I'll be really upset and we'll have to drain the whole pool and hire people to scrub it. We won't be able to use it for like a week. And she was like, oh, God. So she runs inside. And then her mom comes out and she's like, what's going on? What's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. I'm just like in the pool. And she's like, well, Ava thinks that you're really upset with her because she did a whiz pop in the pool and she ended up like pooping her pants. And I was like, no, I'm not mad at her. She just said she had to go. And it was like this whole thing. I was like, she said she had to go. And I told her just to go so then she could just come back and enjoy the pool. And instead she said she was going to hold it. And that's what she gets. Like,
God.
That's what you get, man. That's what you get.
Oh, boy. All right, Jen. Is another week in the can.
Another week in the can.
Yeah, we hope everybody's good. Take care of yourselves. Stay safe.
Follow the rules.
Follow the rules. If they let you go to the beach, go to the beach. Enjoy yourself. And we'll see you all here on Monday.
Yeah.
Monday it is.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.